This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Brandon Texas Show said, so if a quarterback throws 10 picks, it's the team's fault. Show me that happening. And then I'll go, yeah, that one's kind of on him. But no. Wins and losses aren't a quarterback's thought. And everything on that poster is centered. Everything on that poster is centered perfectly.
It's not, though. I feel bad that you don't see it.
I'm sorry, your eyes don't work.
Your head is slightly askew.
Sorry your eyes don't work. Everything on that poster is absolutely perfect.
Hey, as to generalize like you do all the time, we all see it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour 3 of the Rob Brown Show goes now. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Texter said, just Google if wins and losses are a quarterback stat, and the Google AI tells you they're not. Also, I agree with Rob. Thank you very much.
Wow, so you just went AI? Okay, all right.
Texter says, that poster from CVS, does it come with a 96 by 20-inch receipt? The CVS receipt jokes are just never going to get old. And the answer was, for that one item, it was about yay long.
Did it have any coupons on it?
I don't know. I didn't check. I was so excited about the poster, I didn't even check the receipt. Texter said, Johnny Thunderbird is my least favorite mixed drinks. Texter said, as crazy as it sounds, the most logical place for Sam Darnold is the New York Jets. I'm calling the shot now. Whoever signs Sam Darnold's going to sign him for $85 million, and they will have overpaid. He's just going to be Kirk Cousins volume 2.0. You're going to overpay for a guy who got made to look good by an incredible skill set of Minnesota players and Kevin O'Connell. Watch. Book it.
What if he just stays where he is?
Because I don't think Minnesota's give him $100 million. And I think somebody's going to pay him more than Minnesota's willing to. Minnesota will pay him like 70, and somebody's going to be like, we'll give him 85 because last year, as if they did not learn the Kirk Cousins lesson. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, got a couple more things that I want to get to over the duration of the radio program today, including...
By the way, man, now everybody's going to that place that you said to get posters made, and you're not getting a dime out of it. Do you not understand how sponsors work?
Yeah. As in, never mind. I'll say some bad stuff there. I'm not going to say some bad stuff there.
You're going to be critical of a certain place in the building, weren't you?
I would never. Just make sure when you go into CVS, tell them the Rob Brown Show sent you to have this poster made. And CVS, you're welcome. I will make posters for every bare inch of white wall we have in this building. You understand? Now that I know that I can just send them a file and be like, hey, make this big. And they'll do it. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. Now I got people checking in on the stream, giving me graphic design advice. Guys, the poster's perfect. All right? I nailed it. Everything's centered. You got jumping back and forth between big letters and little letters to put the emphasis where I want it. I nailed the poster. All right?
I think Alex has it right. I think you should listen to him. You won't listen
to different letters
him.
Have different weights to them, meaning some letters, although the same font and size, are indeed wider than others. Look at the I compared to A. It's skinnier than the A, so stat can be centered at the same time. It's fine.
It's not.
Good poster.
They can't read it anyway, because it's, I mean, I'm guessing.
If you go full screen, you can.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You go full screen, you can.
All right.
And also, now that I've done that, and I have that saved as a file, oh, I'm going back to get it 32 by 60. It's going to be this entire chunk.
Could you please just move that over just a little? I mean, just put your head in between the T and the A.
It's fine. I'm on the 50-yard line. That's the middle. The 50 is the middlest as middle gets. Lefty Tiger says, where do we watch the live stream these days? Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Fan Upstate on Twitter, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. We stream to 6 different destinations so that you can avoid the ones that your office has blocked. I was at the Swamp Rabbit game yesterday, and I had a gentleman come up to me, and he goes, hey, man, I used to listen to your show at work on YouTube. I used to watch the stream on YouTube, and my company just blocked YouTube. What should I do? And I said, number one, quit and find a new job. But if that's not an option for you, you can watch it on Twitch, you can watch it on Facebook, you can watch it on Twitter. Check out wherever you want to check out The Rob Brown Show, streaming live every day. Let's get some noise in here, some sound, a blitz of sound. We'll call it the audio blitz. Let's go with a couple of different sounds. I will start with this one. Rick Pitino has been getting some sound out there. He did a segment on, actually, you know what? I haven't gotten a chance to edit that one yet, so I'm going to hang off on that. For the sake of Lonzo.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to hold off on that one.
I mean, I'm good at my job, but I'd rather not.
Yeah, I just realized that I loaded it, but I didn't get a chance to edit it.
Don't want to tear a rotator cuff.
Yeah, and I don't need Lonzo eating it, falling out of the chair, trying to get to the dump button back there.
Never fell out of the chair that you've seen.
You guys know Frankie Muniz played Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle back in the day? He's a race car driver now, and I don't mean like for funsies on a local track. I mean like he's racing on the third highest circuit right now. It's pretty good. Well, old Frankie was running a race this weekend, and old Frankie got into a spot where they had to shut the cars down. They had a red flag for just a minute, and there was some electrical problems. Frankie had to shut down the electrical system in his car for a few minutes, and on the radio, it sounded like this. Big respect to Malcolm in the Middle.
Was he singing that whilst driving?
No, they were red flagged on pit row.
Oh, okay.
So they were stuck on pit row. They had to just kind of hang out there on pit row.
It would have been more impressive if he was doing that while he's driving.
I don't disagree, but stuck on pit row, they're like, hey, we got to have you turn everything off. And he's like, well, how do I entertain myself? I got it. I'll just sing Creed. I don't care if you want to listen to it or not. I'm the driver with the homes wide open. Me and Malcolm, we're bonded now. We're guys. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has a podcast. It's pretty good. Over the past handful of days, Dale Earnhardt Jr., as recently the anniversary of the passing of Dale Earnhardt Sr. came and went, has been sharing some stories and memories about his pops, about Dale Sr., the Intimidator. He told a cool story the other day about how some guy in Ireland came into possession of one of Dale Sr.'s first stock cars, like that he raced on the circuit. And this guy bought this car like years and years and years and years ago, and he's been hanging on to it the whole time, did nothing with it. So he gave it to Dale Jr. So Dale just like has his dad, one of his dad's first cars. Pretty cool story. He told another story of Dale Sr. I'm going to play you the setup for the story, and then we're going to play a little game. Here's Dale Earnhardt Jr. talking about a story with Dale Sr. Okay. So Dale Jr. says, me and the boys went down shopping, grabbed some beer, went on back to the house. They were a little before me. I said, don't start without me. We're going to crack some cold brewskis, cold beers, have us a good old time. And then he ended it with, he comes, ... talking about his dad to break up this party. Lonzo, how did Dale Earnhardt Sr. end Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s party? How did he do it? Did he show up and drive a car through the middle of the party? Did he show up with that broom handle mustache and just like start giving people the look? No. Dale Earnhardt Sr. ended Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s brewski party in the most Dale Earnhardt Sr. way possible. Dale Earnhardt Sr. showed up to Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s party and broke it up by flying a helicopter in circles around
it. Okay, I didn't catch the helicopter part.
Yep.
That's the part. I was like, what is he flying?
Yep. Flying a helicopter around. That's how he broke up the party. Had an opportunity to like have a little fun. Decided to break up his boys' party having a helicopter fly around it. That's pretty spectacular.
Where are they? How many are there houses around? Are they living out in the middle of nowhere? I'm just trying to figure out how he can fly a helicopter around and
It's Dale Sr. I think the answer is however he wants.
Okay.
All right. I could be wrong.
You know.
West Virginia and Pittsburgh have themselves a little rivalry going on. And part of this rivalry is a classic tradition where they sing a little Sweet Caroline, bop, bop, bop.
Not a part of the original lyrics. So ridiculous.
No, of course it's not.
People thinking that they could rewrite a song, a classic song, by putting their bomb, bomb, bombs in there. And you all are like, you're all lemmings. You're all sheep.
People in large groups like to have fun. People in large groups
sheep.
Like to have fun.
You're sheep.
Yes, don't do it. If you don't do it Lonzo's way, you're a sheep. No. As somebody who has been in plenty of watering holes with plenty of bands playing plenty of live music, people in large groups like to have fun.
If you wrote a song and someone decided to add something to your song without your permission, you would sue them.
Mm-hmm. We definitely don't do parody songs on this show ever, do we?
It's not a parody. People have decided to... No, adding bump...
Somebody writes a song and you change the lyrics to it. You don't do that?
No, actually I don't. I just sing the same song with a different voice, that's all.
I love it. West Virginia fans, when they play Pitt, the backyard brawl. They changed the bop, bop, bop to Sweet Caroline, Eat Pitt, which is great because it rhymes. It rhymes. Rascal Flatts, and I've given a lot of heck over the years to Rascal Flatts because they're a soccer mom band. It's just not for me. Because, like, they got a little rock and roll. They got a little country.
They're country, so they're horrible. All things country are horrible. And
that's entirely untrue, and you're wrong. And
suck.
I'm not going to have this fight with you because you're wrong again. Some of the biggest... George Strait has a gazillion number ones. You think it's because he's bad? No.
On the daggum country charts, he does?
No. On the charts. George Strait's got an album.
On the daggum country charts.
He's got an album of just number ones. 50 of them.
Don't make me prove it again. Man, now, country's easy.
Now, Rascal Flatts, I've given a lot of hell to them because they're a soccer mom country band, which is not for me, and I like to make jokes. Rascal Flatts, however, they earned a little credit from me because they played a show in West Virginia. And in the middle of a Rascal Flatts set, they decided to have a little fun and play that song.
Sounds like an AEW crowd.
Sounds like to me, a bunch of people in a country music show having a damn good time.
How many kids were out there?
Who cares?
Responsible parents.
If you bring your kids in public, they're going to hear bad words. And if you don't like it, keep them in the house.
To a country?
Yes!
So you're saying that all country is debauchery?
No, I'm saying there is no obligation from anyone to do or not do a thing based on your kids being there. Okay? You don't want your kids to hear dirty language? Keep them away from... everything.
All the heat that you're giving the kids right now is going to melt.
Not the kids.
It's going to melt your poster, man.
The parents.
Spend $16 on that. You don't want to melt it.
Let me give you an example. I was at the Swamp Rabbit game on Sunday, yesterday. And a kid, a player from one of the teams got thrown into the sin bin, the penalty box.
Everyone
and while he was in there.
To you now because you're almost 40.
When he was in there, that's also true. When he was in there and the ref skated by, he said, "Hey, ref, you and..." That call, okay? That's pretty standard hockey stuff. And a guy two rows back runs up, slams onto the penalty boxes, like shaking the box. He's like, "Hey, there's kids here." And the hockey player turns around and goes, "Hey, who the are you? The guy's like, there's kids. I'm like, it's a hockey game, bud. Like, that's kind of comes with the territory. Like, that's kind of it. Nobody here is obligated to police their language for your kid. You're at a hockey game, for God's sake.
Sometimes your defense of things like that is just weird. It just is.
It's not weird. What's weird is going, you're going to hurt my baby's ear, so I'm going to need you to change the way that you talk for me.
By the way,
nope, I'm not doing
it. You're right, James. Rob's opinion of kids is well documented. Yes. And just when you think it can't get any worse, he finds a way. Mm-mm. So,
see, because what Rob Brown is very well known for at these hockey games is to walk around and involve the kids in the hockey game, to let them have segments up on the Jumbotron to go, hey, we got this really cool kid up in 117. It's his birthday. He's got a big sign. Let's get him up on the Jumbotron. Give him his time to shine. I love kids. I don't like kids' parents. Can we just put it out there? If you come to a hockey game and start yelling at the players to watch their language because your sweet little precious angel baby's there, that's a you problem, not a player problem. That's a you problem, not a me problem. Okay? If you come to a live music show and you bring your little cheering and you want the singer and the other fans to not say things because your little sweet baby angel's going to hear some bad words, that's on you, not me.
By the way,
that's your issue.
Just to protect Rob, these are Rob's opinions, not the opinions of the team or the venue or anything like that.
I mean, correct. This is 100% my opinion.
I'm just trying to help you out, dude.
I don't feel like I need help on this.
Well, because if a complaint was lodged to any of those entities, they would have apologized to the parents and the kids. Which would kind of prove what you're saying wrong.
If you bring your kid to a brewery and you hear Rob Brown say some dirty language and you say apologize, I'm gonna say no. I'm just tell you right now, I'm gonna say no. You brought your kid to an adult place. Things happen. I thought it's hilarious that this band, known for being kind of soccer momish, went to one of college football's hottest rivalries, a place that is known for saying, eat, Pitt. And they were like, you know what? We're going to break it up a little bit. We're going to give them their chance to do their thing and have themselves a little fun with their college football tradition. We're going to let them have that moment. And that crowd was hot in that moment. Hot in that moment. I'm here for it. Rascal Flatts, I owe you a round of applause. I've dogged you a lot for being soccer mommy. I've dogged you a lot, and I apologize for that, because you said, we got this moment in time for college football that we can roll with them here. Let's do that. Let's do that, and I'm here for it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Got a little bit more sound I want to run for you. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, over-designed, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Real, real good. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you. Got a few more bits of sound that I'm going to run by you here. We got John Blau with the Post and Courier coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Let's just keep on rolling out the hits. I'm going to play another clip from you from the Dale Earnhardt Jr. podcast. And Dale's interviewing another driver. Now, it's not necessarily a household name yet, but I think he's going to be. I want you to listen to this segment, and then we'll all have a laugh together. So my guy said that his goal is to stick a handful of pontoon boats together and then try to land his little Piper Cub airplane on it. I heard that and I'm like, who is this cat? Who is this guy? Because that is some rednecky stuff. If I've heard, it's like when rednecks get airplanes, this is what ends up happening.
Sounds like a relative of mine.
Lonzo, I want you to take a stab in the dark. Give me like 4 or 5 names that you think. Like, what's this guy's name? Give me like 4 or 5 of them.
I'm going to go with Billy Joe Johnson.
Okay. Couple of double name names.
Mm-hmm. Bubba Taylor.
Bubba's a good guess.
Yeah.
Putting Bubba in there is a good guess. You're missing out on the redneckiest name of all.
Buford Wilson.
Buford's a good guess. It's good, good like Carolina redneck name. Buford. There's one. His actual name, and as soon as I say it, you're going to be like, oh, that checks out.
I'm going to go with Ricky.
It's not Ricky.
Okay.
Cletus McFarland.
Cletus.
Yep. I told you it should have been your first guess. Cletus McFarland.
You should have suggested Dukes Hazzard, and I probably would have got that.
Cletus McFarland started a YouTube channel back in the day. In 2015, he moved on up in the world, started doing this kind of stuff for different drag associations and other car stuff, and then he just hit the big time, and now he's doing Dale Jr.'s podcast. Cletus McFarland doing this stunt. And I got to tell you, I'm watching it immediately. Like, the day he's ready to go, I'm watching this.
Yeah, all my uncles and cousins, not all of them, but a good majority of them, fly planes, big planes, small planes. They do goofy stuff like this. They own a cabin in the woods in Ohio, and they have a helicopter and a plane with the thing on the bottom so it can land on the water. And they also have airboats, the isn't it called an airboat? The thing with the big fan on the back.
Yep.
They got all that kind of stuff. So none of these kind of things surprise me. I'd love to see it though.
Cletus.
But did you notice what he said, the stalling thing? So I'm guessing that has to do with stopping a plane on a dime or something.
When a plane gets below a certain airspeed, it can't create the lift
that way. Okay.
Right. If you, and that's a strategy for landing a plane is
I was
to hit.
Thinking of stopping.
Yeah. A plane has X amount of air of miles per hour that it has to go in order to generate more lift than weight of the plane pulling down towards planet Earth. So if the plane weighs X amount of pounds, you got to go X miles per hour for the wings to generate lift that lifts it up into the air. There is a strategy for going under that mile per hour marker right as you're about to touch the ground so it stops on a dime. And that's what dude's got to try to do.
I've seen that something similar with a helicopter. My Uncle Allard, who might be watching, he watches all the time. We went to the airport one time, and he's like, hey, police helicopter's flying. You want to take a ride with him? I know the guy. I was like, no. He's like, come on, you need to get in there. I'm like, no, because I don't trust my Uncle Allard, which is a smart move. And so he was practicing what to do when the rotors stop. So he'd go straight up and stall the rotors and then get them started again as he's dropped. And I just looked at him like, yeah, you didn't get me this time.
I'm good. Yeah. I'll take a helicopter ride, but I'm good. Paddy Pimblett is a fighter in the UFC. And he's a guy I have a very soft spot in my heart for. Paddy Pimblett is known.
It's Pimbleton, isn't it?
No, it's Pimblett.
Is it Pimblett? Okay.
He is known for being absolutely shredded on fight night. And then.
Paddy to Batty, Paddy to Fatty.
Not giving a damn when he's not fighting. Dude just takes down pizza, puts himself a little beer belly on, and then when it's time for the next fight, gets right back in shape. And I respect the hell out of that. As a dude who has regularly throughout his life gotten in shape for big events. Hey, Rob, you're going on a national broadcast of this football game. You're getting married, whatever. I will cut weight to get down in fighting shape, but the minute that I don't have a highlight coming up, I'm right back to knocking back some brewskis and pizza. Patty, after his last fight, takes to the stage at his post-fight press conference, and I want you, before I play this clip, to understand that this man is eating whole-ass slices of pizza in two bites while he gives maybe my favorite post-fight press conference answer of all time. I've never... Since Siwoo Kim a week ago saying I do 3 Red Bulls and 3 Tylenol PMs to put me in the zone, I've never identified with a pro athlete more.
All right, so you may have forgotten, but Mario and I had an argument about him last week, about him fighting Michael Chandler, and I said I want him to win because the UFC needs a guy like this. And it just proved my point. They need a guy like that. They do.
Love this dude.
And he's an excellent fighter.
I'm all in. I'm all in on this cat, without a doubt. All right. This is a conversation that took place between UConn's Dan Hurley and Gino Auriemma. And I want you to listen, because I this is something I've thought for a very long time, but I wonder if a coach with back-to-back natties, and Gino Auriemma, maybe the greatest women's basketball coach, maybe one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time, listen to this 39 seconds and see how you feel about it.
See, first hour, that's what I was talking about. That's exactly what I was talking about.
Gino Auriemma and Dan Hurley, who have won a combined gazillion natties between the two of them, say, I don't care about recruiting defense anymore. I don't care. I'm not recruiting defenders. I don't care about recruiting defenders. I'm going to go recruit guys that are going to give me 27 points a game, and maybe I'll teach them a little defense. But Gino said, if you can get a bunch of guys who score 1,000 points a game, you're going to win a lot of games. Are we ready to kill off the defense win championships moniker in basketball? And with the way the NFL has gone, with the way that the college football landscape is gone, are we getting back to the point where, or I guess we not back to, are we getting to a point where we feel like this is the mantra, this is the philosophy, that defense does not win championships anymore. Scoring a buttload of points wins championships. Doesn't matter if they score 1,000, but you score 1,001, you still win the game. Where do we land on that? Because I got to tell you, I heard that, and I recorded it, and then I played it back, 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 and then I played it back. Because as long as I've been in and around basketball, which is since I was quite literally a child, it was my first word was basketball. Since I was a child learning the game, my Uncle Mike, who taught me the game, the reason I am a basketball guy, used to say defense wins championships. When I was coming up through middle school and John Gaskin was my head coach, we did seventh grade, first year making a basketball team. I remember this like it was yesterday. Our first week of practice, we didn't touch a basketball. First week of practice, there wasn't a basketball in the gym. All we were doing was defense. Rolling on a zone, getting low to the ground, sliding into rotation, et cetera, et cetera. When I got to high school and I was on the JV team, Coach Jeff Palmer, same situation. Y'all, I don't care if we win every game 8-4. Defense wins championships. Then I got brought up to varsity with Mark Tisa. Great basketball coach. Great guy. Absolutely defensive philosophy. Had three Division I future players on his roster. Had a defensive philosophy. Then I went to college. I didn't play college basketball, but I watched a lot of it. And I watched great defensive teams. And now here are, I would argue, the two most successful active college basketball coaches in America, both of whom are saying, I'm not recruiting defensive players anymore. I'm not recruiting seven-footers who are nothing more than rim protectors. I want to go get a bunch of guys who can score 1,000 points. That was a little bit shocking to me, to be honest with you. Joe Mazzulla, speaking of playing defense, head coach of the Boston Celtics, he said he's learning something and from a very interesting place. This is from the Men in Blazers podcast. Love it. Love it. He said, look, basketball's about timing. It's about cuts. It's about having your cuts synced up to the guy who's supposed to hit the cutter. It's about having your defensive slides timed up to where your offense can't take advantage of them. He said, where's the best place to learn that? Footy, soccer, netheads. That's great. I think a coach, even if he's going all offense like Dan Hurley, I think a coach who can look at other places and find lessons, I think that's good for you. Nick Castellanos is an outfielder for the Philadelphia Phillies. We've done this one before. We do it every offseason. Hey, Nick, what one rule change would you enact in Major League Baseball if given the chance? I can't tell you how much I love that. It'll never happen. It's absolutely not a reality, not a possibility. But Castellanos said, if your team doesn't make the playoffs for 8 years, you have to put your team up for auction. You got to put your team up for auction. You can bid on it, but you'll have to buy your team from you. You can bid on it, but you got to let other people have the opportunity to bid on it and win it too. I love that idea. It's promotion relegation without losing revenue. You want in? Fine. But you got to prove it by buying your own team back. I love that idea. It's never going to happen, but I love it. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, John Blau of the Post and Courier will check in with the Clemson basketball team getting close to ACC tournament championship time. We will check in with the Clemson baseball team after a few big wins strung together over the weekend. All that coming up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. And now, as we do every Monday, we welcome into the radio broadcast a young man who covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, John Blau, joining us here on the show. John, what's up, big fella? How we doing?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. I'm not as good. Hashtag segue, John. We're very professional around here. As Brad Brunell and his Clemson Tigers. That loss to Georgia Tech a couple of weeks ago, followed it up with a win over Duke at the crib, followed that up with a 20-point win over North Carolina. You went down to Florida State and embarrassed them. Then on the road against SMU on Saturday, a very convincing road dub. Talk to me about this team, because I was texting with a friend of mine, John Blau, and we both had the same take, which is this is about as focused and as dialed in as we've seen a Clemson basketball team, and they went to the Elite Eight last year. Has something clicked in this squad?
Yeah, I don't know. I go back to that Georgia Tech game. I just think that was basketball. I mean, it's just, you know, you give a team an opportunity and you miss a couple shots, you could have to win the game. You know, they very easily could have squeaked away with a win there. That just happens sometimes. But for the most part with this team, as we've seen most of the year, it's a very veteran group. They play really good defense. You pair Jaden Zachary with Chase Hunter. They're just a very elite perimeter defense. They turn you over. They don't turn the ball over much themselves. You got a big man in Victor Lockett, and that's the linchpin right there. When he's in foul trouble, you're in trouble. They don't have much depth in the post, but when they do have Victor Lockett available, he's a very veteran guy, rim protector. Guy's pretty savvy around the rim and score himself, and that takes pressure off of Ian Sheflin, too. So it's just a very complete team. The pieces fit really well. I think we've seen that for most of the year. Whether the offense is the same as it was last year, I don't know, but you still got guys who can hit threes, and Hunter and Zachary, and you know, some other guys off the bench. Dylan Hunter's even better there, too. So it's a very complete team, and I think when they play well, they look really good. They look really good the last handful of games.
Every starter in the lineup from Saturday Night John Blau had 32 or more minutes, with the exception of Victor, who had 21. He did have three fouls in this game. Do you think we are going to see his usage continue to ramp up, or is Brad pretty happy with, hey, go give me two dozen minutes, be consistent, we'll be able to cover when you're not out there? Will we see more Victor in the future?
Yeah, I think you're going to see, you know, 25-plus minutes as long as he stays out of foul trouble. Again, like you said, you got those two fouls early in the first half. They had to kind of protect him a little bit the most of that first half. The second half of that first half, it's hard to say. but then the second half is pretty much free, and they played him about the same amount of minutes they would. So, I think Victor Lockett is one of, like I said, one of the most important pieces for this team, because – you know, Christian Reeves is a guy who's got size, but, you know, doesn't really look quite polished yet. He actually had an ankle injury, wasn't able to play. But, yeah, like you said, they could cover for him a little bit. You could have Ian Sheflin play the five a little bit. But you don't want to have to overload Sheflin, and especially with some of the maladies he's had this year with his back issues and some lower body issues as well throughout the year. You don't want to put too much wear and tear on him. So you'd like Lockett to play 25, 26, 27 minutes. Whatever's, you know, feasible for a big man. But at the same time, yeah, it's all about foul trouble. If he stays out of foul trouble, you'll see that. If he's dinged with two fouls, three fouls early in the second half, he's going to have to sit, and that does put a lot of stress on Clemson.
Talk to me a little bit about Ian Sheflin, because I think he's one of those cats, John Blau, that if you didn't watch this team, if you didn't see this team play consistently, I think a lot of guys would look at the Chef and think he's more of a glue guy, right? Kind of a role player, but 35 minutes in this game, had 10 points on 4 of 6 from the floor, but he had 5 boards. He had 3 assists. He had a couple of steals. Like, he is a consistent every part of the court kind of player. Talk to me about the player that Ian Sheflin has developed into this year, since he's kind of had to take on a little bit more of a leadership role.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's not a glue guy. Maybe he's like a super glue guy, or I don't know what you call him. But yeah, he just does all the little things that, like you said, a lot of people probably don't watch Clemson basketball, wouldn't really appreciate. He's obviously, he's an attacker of the basketball off the rim. I mean, he just goes for it. It's not like he's an elite athlete, 6'8", 250. He looks like a football player out there, but he attacks the basketball. He's smart. I mean, I think he was a quarterback in middle school, so, I mean, he can make passes. He sees the game really well. He tends to make the right play, and then, like you said, maybe he kind of blends into the background a little bit, but you look up and he's averaging near double-double. At least he was earlier in the year. I know that even Brad Brownell said earlier in the year that he might be one of those guys that his jersey ends up in the rafters. I don't know, you know, again, with some of the stuff he's dealt with, just some of the back issues and some of the wear and tear, I don't know if he's going to be able to finish that strong, but the fact that he produces the way he produces, he's even developed a little bit more of a three-point shot. I think he is a guy that's kind of underappreciated at times and gets tagged with that glue guy label, fairly or unfairly.
John Blau, Posting Courier, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, talking Clemson basketball. We'll get to the baseball team and their big weekend here in just a minute from right now. Just a few games left in the regular season. John Blau, this team currently sitting at 22-5. I expect the 18 out to their name is going to get a little bit better as we get closer. And I'll tell you, I mean, relatively favorable schedule to end up the year. You've got Notre Dame coming up on Wednesday. That road trip to Virginia is kind of interesting. They are 13-14, but they've had a couple upset wins throughout the course of the year. My thought, John, here is you got yourself in a good position to get the top seed in the ACC in the tournament. You got yourself not just in a spot where you are catching a single-digit seed. Now we're just playing for how high up you are. Pretty good road through the final four regular season games, but I would also say can't fall asleep in any of them because Notre Dame, Virginia, BC, and Virginia Tech are all kind of plucky teams. What's the mentality of this team with four games left to play between here and March 8th?
Yeah, I mean, you're basically an NCAA tournament team unless you somehow, like, lose all four of these games and lose in the first round of the ACC tournament and give the committee something to think about. But, yeah, it's basically don't trip up. Like you said, Notre Dame, Boston College, Virginia Tech, these aren't top-of-the-line teams. They're all quad three according to net rankings. So they would not look good if they end up being losses on your resume, but they should, again, if they play the way they played at Florida State, played at SMU, they should be able to win these games. They're pretty winnable. But you're playing for seeding. You're playing for obviously that double bye in the ACC tournament, which looks pretty much assured, again unless you completely fall asleep at the wheel here in these last four games. And you're playing for the best seed possible in the NCAA tournament because obviously you look at some of those those seeds that they have a better chance of winning maybe against an 11 seed or a 12 seed than if you're playing it in one of those 8-9 games or 7-10 games. Those can be a little bit more difficult. So, yeah, you're just trying to, shore up your weaknesses, maybe rebounding, some of the glaring issues that have popped up every now and again. You're trying to get your defense to play the way it's playing, improve the shot, making as much as you can, get in a good rhythm, and try to make a run in the ACC tournament, then inevitably the NCAA tournament.
Couple of weeks away from that ACC tournament. We'll be talking with John Bilow every Monday at 8:40 moving forward. Let's flip real quick, John, over to the baseball team, if you don't mind. Four games, a pair against NCA&T, a pair against the VCU. All four go into the win column for this Clemson Tiger team. None of them, you put up 12 against A&T on Saturday. 6-2, 4-3, 4-2 winners the rest of the ride. This is a team, John Bilow, that I've heard a lot of people say they're expecting big offensive outputs. They're expecting a lot of home runs out of this lineup this year. Good pitching out of these, kind of kept in that 4-6 range for the majority of games so far. What's your early season breakdown with just a handful of games in the books on what Eric Backich's squad looks like so far?
Yeah, pretty deep team hitting-wise. I mean, they've actually really rotated the lineup a lot, got a lot of different guys in and out. Just because they want to see who kind of emerges here. Dominic Listy has been a guy that's really popped. I mean, he's a guy who played Division III baseball first 4 years of his career, went to Indiana State, now jumped to Clemson. He just gets on base all the time, whether it's a walk, a hit-by-pitch, whatever. He had a clutch double yesterday that kind of helped them win that game against North Carolina A&T, kind of squeaked that one out. But, Eric Backich has been asked about the lack of home runs. I mean, they really haven't hit very many here early, but, some strange wind conditions and Globe Life Field, the Rangers Stadium being pretty pitcher-friendly. I mean, maybe those will come along. But even if they don't, I mean, it just seems like they have so many guys up and down the lineup. Again, talk about Listy, Luke Gaffney, Colin Priest, a guy like Tristan McClatty who's emerged this year. They seem like they're going to be able to get guys on base and drive in runs. Pitching-wise, I mean, the starting pitching, Aiden Knock's pretty good. Ethan Darden has looked really good in two starts. It's just trying to figure out that last spot. Justin LeGurnick got lit up in his first weekend against Ole Miss, but looked a lot better this time around this past weekend. So feel pretty good about him. With Dane Moeller, the freshman, getting hurt, that was kind of a concern, but it seems like there's good enough depth there too. So just looks like a really well-rounded team as long as there aren't more injuries, as long as, the power comes along a little bit. You should feel pretty good about their chances to win a lot of games and be in the postseason again.
Ole Miss, the only blemish on the record so far for Clemson, 6-1 overall to start the season. And I'm looking up and down the ACC, and obviously John Bilow, it is very early. There are some teams that have only played four games so far, a couple that have played up to seven. But In this conference, there are 11 teams that are either undefeated or have a single loss. This is going to be a fantastic baseball conference this year, I believe. So does Clemson stack up in your mind up towards the top of this conference when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I mean, you got some pretty good teams there in Virginia. And, you know, Florida State is supposed to be pretty good. You know, Duke is usually pretty good year in and year out. I mean, you expect all those schools to be there. But at the same time, again, with the depth that you have with Clemson, the experience that they have, the mix of, you know, speed, power, just getting on base, and then some of the improved depth it looks like you have in the bullpen, I think this is a team that should compete. Again, it's really early. We'll have to see kind of, you know, we haven't even gotten to ACC play yet. Obviously, we haven't gotten to the Clemson-South Carolina series this weekend. We'll see how they stack up with their rival. But, you know, early indications are this is a team that I think has the potential to stack up. Obviously, again, I got to see more of the other ACC teams because I haven't honestly been peeking at Virginia baseball or Florida State yet. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how things look as we get further along here.
It's still basketball season, and I will not apologize for that, John Blau. John Blau covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Tiger Athletics. John, my man, appreciate you as always, big dog. Let's do it again next week, pal.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau for the Post and Courier. Appreciate his time as always. When we come back in the 9 o'clock hour, got a few more sound bites I want to get to you. We'll talk a little college basketball, including both Clemson and South Carolina, a little college baseball on deck. We'll get into NASCAR after an interesting, but shall we say controversial race out at Atlanta this weekend. And then whatever y'all want to get to, it's all coming up in the next, what do we got? Two more hours, man. Time flies when you're having fun.
We don't have to. We've got one more hour, dude.
Oh, it's almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're only going to 10. How does time work?
Well.
Sorry, I still got Aladdin playing in my head.
Yeah. Time is this thing where you go to bed at a decent time, so then you have a clue what's going on. There's that.
That'll be fun.
I know there's a lot of stuff to do, and I get it, and your brain doesn't.
There's a lot of stuff to do. Yeah. I think we got a burst pipe at the house. That's what I get to deal with today. That's pretty exciting. It's not exciting for y'all. It's exciting for me. I get to leave here and go home and hang out with a plumber. Super nice guy, though.
At least you don't live in the middle of the woods and have to go hang out with a plumber.
That's also true.
That's a totally different experience.
That's also true. Hey, we got breaking news from the Carolina Panthers about Shaq Thompson. I'll tell you what that is when we come back here in just a minute. Now, the Shaq O'Neal of Sports Flashes. That's a different Shaq, but a very good one. Lonzo with a Sports Flash.
No rim is safe. South Carolina swept Milwaukee over the weekend, including an 8-inning, 14-4 win yesterday. Ashton Crowder earned the win, pitching 2 innings of middle relief, surrendering 1 hit and striking out 3. Ethan Petrie, I don't know. I'm going to go with Petrie because I grew up with a guy named Petrie. And Nolan Naraki each had a pair of hits and RBIs, and Will Whippet recorded 4 hits and 1 RBI in the win, which moved the Gamecocks to 8-0 to start the season. Colorado quarterback Shador Sanders won't work out for teams at the NFL Combine this week, according to reports. Sanders will still meet with teams, though whether or not he'll participate in medical exams is unknown. Make sure you tune in this Wednesday at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. It's us. It's right here. It is the Fan. Upstate.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.